annals of history.
There has been some mighty trios. Alvin and the Chipmunks, Harry, Ron and Hermione, and the Bee Gees.
Well, sure, there's only one of them now, but you get the drift.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these three men will try and make sense of the world with their words. And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish!
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that.
Thanks to the butcher shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Please welcome Scotty, No I Don't Know Why I Got Fired Masters, Ben the Governor Edwards,
and Steve, Golden Tonsils Payos.
Well, we are back for Season 2, Episode 2 this time around, thanks to the butcher shop of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm Benny Edwards.
And I'm Stevie P.
Indeed you are. And you've lined up a special guest for us this week, Steve.
That's exactly right, Scotty. And Benny, Diamond Dave Toussaint will be inside the studio today to talk about his upcoming fight on the undercard of Manny Pacquiao and Jeff Horn, the Battle of Brisbane on July 2nd.
We'll be able to say we knew him before he was famous.
Well, that's it, right?
I mean, what audio
is,
proof.
What is he now, 10-0? Yes. And just he's been on a very steady trajectory, and it's
that's right.
Seems like he's got it all laid out for him if he can get through
after
this next one.
Stellar amateur career.
Absolutely. Oh yeah,
stellar.
That's it. Yeah. Stellar amateur career. Great
bloody lefties.
Those damn southpaws. I mean, you've had a lot to do with him as well, Benny. Obviously, you know, for people that out there that don't know, Ben sparred a lot with Dave, helped him a lot with his striking and that sort of thing. So I mean,
he's helped me an awful lot. He's the as I said last week, he's the most skilled guy I've been in the ring with. And mate, he's as big as my leg, and he smashes me.
Yeah,
he's awesome. Man. He's awesome. He's awesome. Great bloke. Great worker. He deserves.
Really fit too, isn't he? Always keeps himself.
Mate, he's one thing I've made mistakes with in my career. I'll train like a champion while I've got a fight coming up. But afterwards, I'm living at McDonald's for 2 months. See you later. Dave trains like a champ all year round.
Yeah,
man. I saw a thing on Facebook. Man, it's a cool meme. I should have shared it. It says fighters train when they got a fight coming up. Champions train all year round, and that's Dave in a nutshell.
Well, I mean, you did say to us earlier when we talked about the MMA stuff with you, you want to remain pretty busy over the next 12 months. Well, you need to, don't you?
Absolutely. I know. I've learned from my mistakes, mate. I'm not going to be, you know, having a fight, whatever, and then just chill and do nothing for 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
When I first started fighting, I was fighting all the time. I had 10 fights in. I fought everyone there was to fight in Australia within 18 months.
Like, you were fighting every 4 weeks, remember, Benny?
Yeah. I fought consecutive weekends a few times in a row.
Really?
My late grade trainer, Johnny Barron. Some fights he'd have, he's like, all right, game plan is don't get hurt because you've got to fight next week. So smash him. Just smash him. We can't pull out. That was it. That's good. That's how you learn on the job. It keeps you in the gym.
Yeah.
All my best performances, Madison Square Garden, Serbia, they were all coming off a busy run.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
Madison Square Garden, I fought 6 weeks before that in Melbourne.
Yep.
Serbia, I fought 2 months before that in Canberra. Staying busy is how you get good.
Well, I hear on the weekend just gone with some bouncing, you were evading punches as well. So you're training even when you're working,
well,
Benny.
Well, I wasn't even working and I wasn't bouncing and my ex-missus cracked me one, which I didn't slip. But in her defense, I might have poked the bear.
Were you getting a little bit cocky, were you?
I told her she smelled like music. Did you just play Herman's brass band?
Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass just got another workout.
So I probably had it coming.
I've had so many mates in the past week go to me, what did Ben say? What did Ben say? I'm like, I'm not telling you.
He said.
Bifarama's coming up. Obviously, we're going to talk about Conor and Mayweather. That's been announced.
Yeah, the day our show came out.
Yeah, that's right. Friday last week.
The super fight has been made. I said last week I was going to touch on Fedor and Mitrione on the undercard of Chael and Vanderlei, but due to the huge event that is Conor versus McGregor, we're obviously going to concentrate on that. I've also got the recap of Kovalev versus Ward for the light heavyweight 168-pound title.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty dodgy, man.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Very dodgy. Yeah. Kovalev's manager, the daughter, not son, of Ludu, the legendary trainer of Dave Tour, Evander Holyfield, who is now passed away. She's manager for Kovalev, and she had a huge blow up afterwards,
massive.
And understandably so. And just quickly, I need to correct myself on a couple of things last week.
Yeah.
Last week, I was referring to Ramon Dekkers as a living legend. He's obviously passed away back in, I think it was 2013. Possibly, I believe. The guys, I did know he passed away, obviously.
Whoops.
Because when I fought Errol Zimmerman, his Ramon Decker's son was training him, and you can see after the fight, after I'd lost, I went over to his corner and I said to Errol, because it was a tournament, he was going through to the final, I said, I hope you win the whole thing for his family, pointed at Nicky Ramon, and Errol started crying in the ring. Mm-hmm. So before anyone tries to correct me, I did actually know Ramon died. Right.
You were a little excited last week. It was our first episode and you'd come directly from training.
I've also come from training tonight. Well, you have, and I'm full of coffee and I'm bitch scratched.
Yeah, you got, so Mr. Rudick has smashed your neck. The count on there.
Yeah.
Well, what do they call him, the count? Well, that question's been posed to us.
Oh, because he wore a cape. Well, he was at a staff party for Academy.
Right.
And then we sort of poached him and brought him out to dinner. So Stoy and I, we weren't drinking. We were just looking after him. But he was in fine form. Can I tell you what? Cape with the girls is a good icebreaker.
A cape?
Yeah.
There you go.
Whoa.
The guitarist at a Killswitch Engage, Adam D, who used to be their drummer but now is their guitarist and their producer, he wears a cape on stage.
You can't go wrong with Elvis, man.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong. Cape's but a back, man.
Capey Elvis was crap Elvis.
Oh, wait, man. It's Cape Elvis. Come on, man. What's wrong with that, man? He's the best man.
He wasn't as cool as 50s movie wearing the leather.
I just want to know, because he died on the can, right?
He did. He was taking a dump, yep.
Was he wearing a cape?
No. That's probably the problem, isn't it? There you go. Exactly.
And one more correction on myself.
Oh, really?
Last week, no one's actually brought this up. I just heard it myself. I knew that was wrong when I said it. Mm-hmm. I said last week that Mark Hunt made $110,000.
I thought that was low.
No, that was Derek Lewis. Figure.
What did Hunt make?
Over 800.
Okay, that sounds much better.
And I didn't know that when I said it.
When you said that last week, part of me went, Mark Hunt only made 100 grand for that.
No. Mark Hunt probably got taxed 100 grand.
How about this episode, be less shit?
All right.
Yep.
Good advice. And next episode, I'll try and be on time.
It's all good. Now, one thing I do want to bring up, and because a lot of people listening will go, oh, you haven't said anything about Origin. We record this on a Tuesday this year. So Origin is on tomorrow night and the podcast comes out Thursday. So there's no way to know what to put in the podcast on Thursday morning. So let's just hope this time next week we're talking about a Blues victory of the series, because otherwise I'm going to be very pissed off.
It's looking pretty good. You guys obviously know more about it than me, but do you think that could be a problem? Everyone's expecting a win.
We'll talk about it in the vast planet shortly, but I think it's a little bit dangerous. I think it's a danger game for New South Wales. They've made wholesale changes, and as we discussed last week, the whole pick and stick Queensland's policy went out the window, seven changes. They just decided to. They used to always have a tradition of sticking with the guys that have won series, and they've won 10 out of the last 11 series. So it makes sense for them to stick with the guys that have done so well for them.
But Nate Miles and Thaiday were passengers last game.
That's right.
Did you think Thaiday just had an off game? I rate Thaiday.
I think he's passed personally. It, really? Oh yeah, with all due respect, I think he's done well.
Because I remember in the day he was a gun. He was
always a cat, but he was a gun.
When it comes to rep level, he's done. I mean, he still has a part to play for the Broncos, but at that very highest level, when you've got young forwards just like Clemmer, Jackson, you've got Boyd Cordner, you've got these young, hungry New South Wales forwards who are really, for feed out a great game last time round. You've got these guys just taking over. So,
all right, well, Dave's Toussaint is going to join us next, so we're going to get to that after this. It is Liquid, an Abdul's Secret movie. Now, this is an old song. Liquid are, of course, one of the best Canberra bands out of the 90s. They did national tours with Van Halen, all sorts of stuff. Those boys went on to become Tonk and Me the Conqueror. The ANU shut down on the weekend. Apparently, it's more important to have accommodation for international students than it is to have a vibrant music scene at the ANU.
So ANU's gone off forever.
The refectory is gone.
Was that UC, mate? That's the UC refectory.
You're thinking of the one down the bottom of Barry Drive.
City.
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw Nirvana there in 90, whatever it was. And it was it was about, it might have been 97, 96.
wasn't Kirk dead in like,
No. No, so it was 90s.
I know my shit, man.
Early 90s. And it was amazing.
Have you seen that thing on Netflix about his death?
Oh, Courtney killed him. There's no doubt about it. She mightn't have pulled the trigger, but she killed him.
Yeah, that was dodgy.
But no, that night it was so packed at the ANU that people fell out through the windows. Mm. That's how insane.
You'd have some great memories from there, wouldn't you, Scotty?
I've played there. I've supported plenty of huge Aussie bands there over the years. It was a great room, and to see it shut down is pretty sad. But these guys reformed on Saturday night were one of the highlights. So a little bit of Liquid to kick off the podcast, the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Benny and Stevie, thanks to The Butcher Shop.
Turn the upside.
was Liquid by Abdul's Secret Movie.
No, the other way around. Liquid's the band. What? Sorry, man.
Just can we just run with it?
No, just go again.
I reckon that'd be funny if you just kept this in, man. Let's keep it in, man.
Oh, we're keeping it in, aren't we?
We're keeping it. Okay. They know what's going on, man.
Yeah, Liquid.
And this is the Give Yourself Another Podcast. I'm Ben, you're Scotty, you're Stevie. And am I allowed to introduce
of course you
the
can,
man
mate.
Of the hour?
Of course you can.
Diamond Dave!
Diamond Dave.
Soon to be safe. Famous.
How are you guys?
Very, very good, mate. Thanks so much for coming in. Obviously, huge news. It got leaked a couple of weeks ago, but Shane Mosley Jr. on the undercard of the Manny Pacquiao Jeff Horn fight. Man, you've got to be pretty pumped for that.
Yeah, man, starting to get pretty excited now. I think 13 days out or so. So yeah, not long at all, man. Really, really starting to get excited for it.
Very nice.
Massive fight, Dave. Congratulations again. Obviously, we announced everything officially last week, but as you mentioned, there was a few leaks and all that sort of stuff in the weeks before that, which I don't think would have affected your preparation, though. You knew it was coming for a while, and you're in a position now where you're ready to go, and it is only just under 2 weeks away. So how are you feeling, mate? How's the preparation been going? And obviously, this is the biggest fight of your career on the biggest stage that you've ever fought on as well.
Yeah, definitely biggest fight of my career. Preparation's been great. Yeah, what, 60,000 people are going to be at the door on the day. So, yeah, millions of people watching it across the world as well. So, definitely, yeah, looking forward to it. Yeah, preparation's been going good. I guess they announced the fight officially last week, but probably 2 or 3 weeks before that, they were throwing names around, and we looked at Mosley, and he was the candidate for the night. So, yeah, we're on, man. It's happening.
How good's that, mate? You've been brought through very professionally as well. Until now, there's been no footage of you on the internet, no nothing. So this is really your coming out party. You're not going to be anonymous anymore after this one. And on top of that, this is the Manny Pacquiao's first fight not on pay-per-view in 11 years. It's going to be live on ESPN. You're the first fight that's going to be shown live on air in America to potentially the biggest audience to ever watch a Manny Pacquiao fight because they don't have to pay a cent. What do you reckon about that?
Oh, I guess like...
On top of 55,000 Aussies screaming for you.
Yeah,
there's about 20 billion Filipinos watching as well, man.
Yeah, it's going to be hectic, definitely. Like,
it's like 40,000 Hellenic clubs.
Exactly, yeah. It's like 40,000 Hellenic clubs. Well, a mate of mine the other day said the population of Tamworth is 37,000. So it's nearly double that in the stadium. And then, like you said, there'll be millions of people in
America. Never mind everyone watching on ESPN.
Yeah, there you go. But, mate, you've done a whole bunch of travel with your amateur career as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I fought overseas plenty of times. Yeah. And I guess this will be the biggest stage I've been on. But yeah. I guess the last few fights of mine, they've all been getting bigger and bigger. So the nerves for me are going to be the same. You know, the last few all have been pretty important and pretty nerve-wracking. So. Yeah,
I felt that myself as well. It doesn't even matter who you're fighting. It's always the same amount of nerves, I reckon.
Yeah.
Especially with you, mate. Your work ethic's second to none. Even when you were full-time Sparky, mate, you were still getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning training by yourself sometimes, mate. So you deserve everything you get. But
thanks, Benny.
I hope you're not superstitious, mate. Did you know that the former Lang Park, now called Suncorp Stadium, was the official Brisbane cemetery until they decided to put a bloody footy over
footy ground
there.
Yeah,
that's right.
How good's that?
The home of Queensland rugby league.
I just want to say that.
Every time New South Wales lost up there, they used to put a gravestone on the front page of the Courier Mail back in the day. That's what they used to do.
Place is cursed, do you reckon?
Yeah, no, I think you're going to be fine, man. I mean, just on what Benny said, he said his nerve levels are the same no matter what fight he's going into. Obviously, for you two, who've both fought at the Hellenic Club in front of huge packed houses where you
tens and tens
of hundreds of people, where you probably know 90% of everyone in the room. Is that more nerve-wracking walking out into a room where everyone knows you as opposed to walking out onto Suncorp where you've got 60,000 people but you know the guys in your corner and that's probably about it?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess 60,000, like the roar of it when you're going out there and everything is going to be pretty crazy.
They're on your side too, man.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, you'd think an Australian, what's the word?
Pugilist!
Yeah, you think having an Aussie crowd there they're definitely going to be on your side. But Shane Mosley is a big name and there's going to be a lot of fans watching him because of his old man as well. Mm. So,
yep.
Yeah, hopefully... Hopefully they're barracking for me anyway.
I reckon they will be.
I'm pretty happy with your prep considering you... I used to live at the gym in a granny flat and that was probably the best shape I was ever in. As soon as I moved out, I put on 40 kilos. You've been living with your boxing coach, Gazza, for how long now?
A couple of years now.
Why you never miss a session, mate. That's awesome, man. That's all going to pay off for you, man.
Yeah, how's living with Gary Hamilton? I've met Gary a few times. He's an angry little ant. How's working with him? What happens if you... If you forget to wipe the toilet seat or something, do you get extra sit-ups at training?
He's pretty good. He's pretty good. He likes to wind me up a little bit, but it's all in. It's all to make you better, I guess. So,
You're also living with one of my other training partners, Jimmy O'Brien.
He's
gold, mate. He is Mr. Reliable. He has not missed a training session with me in 8 months.
Yeah, right.
He trains 7 days a week.
He's a machine. He's awesome. Yeah.
What do you know about Shane Mosley Jr., Dave? He's a guy who's only fought 3 blokes with a winning record. He's got a small height advantage over you by about an inch. From the footage that I've seen, he seems to throw a lot of big overhand punches. I haven't seen anything where he's looked really technically fantastic. Yeah. I mean, how much do you know?
Can I just interject on... based upon the sparring rounds I've done with Dave being a taller person, I think he's going to handle fighting a taller person just fine.
Yeah, I mean, how many times did you come here last year before the Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy Fight Night and you looked like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer because of Dave?
More than once. You'd be pretty comfortable with the taller guy, wouldn't you?
I think so, yeah. The guys I've been sparring, I guess, you tailor it to the fight you've got coming up. So I've been fighting guys that are taller, that have got longer range than him as well.
Yep.
And I've been getting multiple guys to be coming in for longer rounds when I've been fighting. So I'm definitely going to be used to the range and I think it won't make too much of a difference. I know he's pretty athletic. Like he's got a nice punch on him, fairly explosive like his old man. But he's definitely not the boxer his old man is. And I think I'm probably the better boxer than him and I think I'll be stronger than him as well. So hopefully it pays off and I'll get the win.
I've been wearing my Diamond Dave shirt at the Hellenic Club cheering for him.
Represent.
And Payos will be in the crowd in his tuxedo ready to, in case Bruce Buffer falls over. Michael Buffer falls over.
I'm here.
Anyway, quick. I'm available. I got a mic.
But that's the same for every rock concert I go to. You're just up there hoping Dave Grohl breaks a leg. You get the call. I can play all your songs.
Come and play.
That's good, mate. That's good.
Now, we mentioned this just before Benny showed up, Dave, when we were talking before the mics went on.
I was late, man.
Yeah, Benny was late today. But
I thought I was 5 minutes early. I was 25 late.
Scotty nailed it in one.
What's the next step? So say you get through this fight and you get through Mosley. What's the next step for you?
Yeah, like I said before, I think I'd like to go for the Aussie title. It's still sort of something that I've always really wanted to have. Benny's got it himself.
Resume too.
Yeah, it's great to have there and to keep to show your grandfolks, your grandkids one day, you know, so... Yeah, I wouldn't mind going for that, but if I beat him, it's going to be huge for me. Like, there's going to be a lot of big names in the crowd and watching internationally. And I guess, like Benny said, this is one of the first times that I'll actually be viewed publicly. So if I do really well against him, then who knows what's going to happen.
Who's the current Aussie champion?
There isn't one, Ben.
Yeah,
I only know that because Dave told me 8 minutes ago before you showed up.
it's currently vacant in the middleweight division. So it's open. It's up for grabs.
How good's that, mate? You'll be, having a good night. You'll be on the pound for pound list in Australia straight away, I reckon.
Yeah, who knows, man. Hopefully,
Jeff Horn's number one right now, isn't he?
Yeah, Jeff's number one. Your mate Lucas Brown's up there as well.
Yeah, so it should be.
Yeah, so.
Beautiful.
It's
good. It's going to be a great fight, Dave. Obviously, the occasion is what's going to be fantastic about it. He's a big name, and I guess with that comes either pressure or a free mind for him.
It's an opportunity.
For Dave, with his amateur career, man, he's got the perfect mentality for
it. I'm curious to see how Shane Mosley will do.
Ice cold, man. That should be a name, man. He doesn't give you much, but he'll fuck you up.
Stone cold, ice cold Diamond Dave.
The Counts of Monte Fisto.
So I've always asked Benny before he walks out if he knows what his ring music's going to be, and occasionally he'll let us know. Any clues as to what you're walking out to, or you don't? Is that a superstition that you save it for the night?
No, I've normally got the same one. I use D's for Dangerous by the Arctic Monkeys.
Yep.
Yeah, normally go out to that, but it only goes for 2 minutes and 14 seconds, so... I don't know if that's going to be enough time.
Get me a copy and I'll do an extended mix for you in this Pro Tools setup. We'll make it 4 minutes 40 for you.
It'll just be the song and then Scotty solo and just freestyle.
I don't remember this. Oh, dear. Well, listen, man. Obviously, a lot of people help you get to this point as well. Is there any local sponsors or anyone you'd like to give a shout out to?
Yeah, definitely. I guess, getting to this point where I'm at, I wouldn't have been able to do it without the guys backing me financially and looking after me. Yep. So, yeah, if I can, I'll shout out to my sponsors. Big shout out to Beaumont Concreting, O'Connor Refrigeration, MBD Constructions, Diverse Security Group, Monster Sports Nutrition, Rojo Customs have just come on board as well.
Yeah, nice.
And yeah, thanks to Phil at Osteo Connection, Physio Connection, helping me out as well. So, yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Very, very nice. So, what's your predictions for the fight, Benny?
One way traffic, man. And Dave's swinging the hammer.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, I think Dave will get up. I mean, it's hard to
back
say
to
that.
Me, especially with Dave's going to walk him down. He's going to walk him down. He's going to kill the body and late finish.
Yeah.
Sorry, Steve. Back to you, mate.
No, you're all right, mate. That's fine. Yeah, I mean, I'd have to agree with you, Benny. I think Dave will have the boxing prowess and the technical skill to overcome Shane Mosley Jr. How early that is, I don't know. But as I was going to say, obviously with Dave in the room, it's a little bit harder as well to come out with all these fanciful predictions. But I think from what I've seen of Dave and the little bit of video I've seen on Shane Mosley Jr., he'll have enough technically to get over him, which will be good. So obviously it's going to open up some big doors for Dave and be fantastic for his future as well. So,
well, when you walk through him and you get the Aussie title, don't forget about us, mate. You'll have to come back in and have another chat to us.
Mate, for sure. I'll be back, definitely.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast
with Scotty Masters,
Ben the Governor Edwards
and Steve Payos.
Is this thing on?
This thing is on.
It's butcher shop time, man.
Indeed. Our wonderful sponsors are butcher shop Dixon and Kayleen. Benny, what do you got to say about
I had a lamb torpedo and I remember the name of it.
How good are the lamb torpedoes with the seeded mustard on top and
Dijon
mustard Dijon? With the seeded Dijon.
Dijon.
It made fantastic. Ugh. Fantastic.
So good, aren't they? Good. They are very good.
Why am I speaking German?
I don't know.
Oui.
It was awesome, Dijon. But yeah, that was my dinner last night. I had two meals from there yesterday.
Nice.
Out of the T-bone and the lamb torpedo.
See, plenty of protein.
I got another lamb thing at home, but I don't know what it's called.
Or was it the lamb rump? The lamb pocket.
I think so.
That's got Dijon in it as well as feta and a few other bits of and some bacon. My top five that's coming up is about bacon. So
again.
Yeah. Yeah, this is
double bacon.
Not
that's
bacon.
A top 10.
No, bacon was last week. I'm looking at the wrong bit of paper. Yeah, fish porn this week. They don't sell fish at the butcher shop.
Fish porn?
Yeah, fish porn. Trust me.
Do they have that at the butcher shop?
No. They have meat porn. You walk in there and it's meat porn at the butcher shop.
It is very quickly. And in saying that, my lamb torpedo was very phallic shaped.
Indeed. One big special that they've decided to keep going at the butcher shop because it's just gone gangbusters. They're fresh chicken thigh schnitzels that they make on the premises every day. $6 for $10.
Whoa.
Oh, really?
Can you beat that?
How good's that?
I don't think you can beat that. So get in and check it out. It's the fight fuel for Benny Edwards. It's whatever fuel I need. And we've got to get Stevie in there because I don't think you've eaten in there yet, have you, Steve?
Not for a while, no.
We need to take you into the butcher shop, mate. Dixon and Kayleen. Kayleen is open 7 days. Dixon open 6 days. Get in there. Get it down your neck.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast is recorded in a bedroom.
In front of one very disinterested diamond python.
And occasionally a ginger cat called Alan.
Alan! Alan! Alan!
No, that's not Alan. Steve.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben and Steve.
Season 2, episode 2, we're on our way. And Scotty, it's your turn, mate. The top 5.
Listen. You make me look unprofessional.
Yeah, how good was that? What we need to do.
He shows up on time. We need gets it in one take.
We need to find out where Buffer is staying at the Horn and Pacquiao fight.
I'm going to f*** him up, man.
And just release like the strep throat virus into his room.
Through the fence. Doesn't he get like a million a...
Michael Buffer gets about $1 million a night, I think.
Let's fuck him up, man.
That's insane.
I read his book.
Isn't it?
It was actually pretty. I was supposed to lend that a year ago, wasn't I?
No, that's Bruce Buffer, you're thinking.
Bruce.
Yeah, I got it. I got myself a copy of it.
Bruce UFC, Michael Boxing. That's right. We'll get to it later when we talk Conor and Mayweather. But there's a call out online at the moment that for the Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather, that both the Buffer brothers are there.
Well, that'd make sense.
That'd be awesome.
Michael does Floyd and Bruce does Conor.
How good would that be?
That's a great idea.
How good would that be?
I'll have to excuse myself. That when that happens, boys.
Yeah.
Speaking of porn, I found this story. I found this story while having a hunt around last night. Scientists at Freeburg.
What were you actually searching for when you?
Oh, it's just this. I've got a bunch of weird news sites I go to look for stuff to talk about X-videos. For the podcast.
News.com.
No, well,
lobster porn. One,
but Reddit's
lobster
great.
Lobster tube.
Yeah. Well, how good is it?
Come on, man.
So I think this one was on Reddit, actually.
What is Reddit? That's one of the huge websites I've never
been
on.
It's like an online forum, and you can ask questions.
It's a bit of everything, isn't
questions
it?
Get bumped up and down. It's pretty cool. And
that always gets... I hear that,
Reddit's,
every time.
Reddit's huge. So, there was a story on there that at Freiburg University in Switzerland, they've discovered that the stickleback fish produce more eggs and sperm if first stimulated by a film showing flirting stickleback fish in their natural surroundings. So these fish are in a lab and they do a sperm count and egg count, and then if they show them a bit of fish porn in their natural habitat, it increases by a third. Right?
What?
So, yeah, apparently so.
Well, we're the same.
A little aqua porn, if you will. So anyway, it got me thinking of this.
And now, it's another Give Yourself an Uppercut. Top five.
Yep, it's the top five fish pornos. Right,
this would be good.
All right, number five.
I can think of a few.
Number five, deep trout.
so good, isn't it? You'll work with this all day.
Number four, Debbie does dolphins. number three, and this one's up the back in a weird section. Number three in the top five fish pornos, blowholes. number two, Ocean 69. And number one, there's the drum roll. Number one in the top five fish pornos, Grinding Nemo.
That's your best one yet, man.
That is good, Scotty. That was good. We could work with that.
That was actually...
Thanks for your validation.
I didn't have high hopes, man.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow.
So now it's time for Ben's Biff-O-Rama.
That's insane in the membrane.
I've been waiting to talk Biff with Benny since last Friday when the big fight was announced. Benny, take it away.
Mate, the impossible deal has been made. Conor McGregor will fight Floyd Mayweather at the T-Mobile Arena in Vegas on August 26th. It's at 154 pounds, which is a good weight for Conor. He'll walk into the ring at about 170. Mayweather's going to walk in at about 152. So he's everyone always goes, "Oh, there's only 2 inches difference." There's a big size difference. Conor is a bigger man.
He's a bigger man.
He's just thicker. It's all muscle.
Yep.
Much bigger man. Apparently the numbers are Floyd Mayweather's getting a guaranteed 100 mil, Conor's getting a guaranteed 75 mil. The rest is confidential, according to Ray Ellerby, Mayweather's manager.
And based off pay-per-view.
Based on pay-per-view.
And it'll
points.
Be the biggest pay-per-view event in history.
Quite possibly, because Pacquiao Mayweather did on the day like 2.5, I believe, but now the numbers, because you can keep buying pay-per-views.
Yeah.
That now numbers now over 4 million.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, but this is potentially the biggest fight ever in human history. So, here's Dana White announcing everything about announcing it.
Can you believe it? Money. McGregor and boxing. The split pay-per-view money likely never seen before. The fight that many thought would never happen. Oh, it's happening. Welcome to SportsCenter. I'm Zubin Mehenti, and as they say, save the date. Keep August 26th free for a Saturday night showdown in Las Vegas. Money Mayweather made it official himself on his Instagram page today, posting this just about a half hour ago, 5:31 p.m. Eastern Time, confirming the fight is indeed on. On the other side, Conor McGregor using social media to weigh in himself. He essentially said, "Who's your daddy?" Obviously a play on words there, four words. The fight is on. Dana White didn't need one word. All he needed to do was flash a smiley face emoji, and anybody that loves boxing, UFC, or sports clearly realizes why. What a moment. And it is a pleasure to be joined by the man that put out that smiley faced emoji, Dana White. He is the president of UFC, and he joins us tonight here on SportsCenter. First things first. Take me through how this all finally came to fruition, Dana.
Well, we've been in negotiations now for a while. And to be honest with you, negotiations went smooth. Floyd is surrounded by some smart people, and we got this thing done. The impossible deal is now done.
Mission Impossible has been reached. One quick particular for a lot of our fans watching. It's going to be in Vegas. What's the venue?
Yeah, it'll be at the T-Mobile Center in Vegas. It'll be at 154 pounds. They'll wear 10-ounce gloves. It'll be in a ring. It's a boxing event. Mayweather Promotions will build the undercard for it. And those are pretty much the basics right now.
What does this mean for UFC?
You know, I don't know what it means for UFC. I've been saying this for a long time. Conor McGregor is a guy who's done a lot of good things over here, you know, for the sport and for this company. And he wanted this. And obviously, the fans wanted it too. You know, it's everywhere I go and everything. Just the only question people ask me now is if this fight's going to happen. So, you know, not only for him, but at the end of the day, my job is to make fights that the fans want to see.
They're going to have to come up with another question for you because this one has been answered. Here's one I think you're going to get quite a bit. This is a boxing match, as you mentioned. This is one of the greatest tacticians of any era at 49-0 stepping in the ring against your guy. So you tell me, why does your guy stand a chance?
Yeah, it's funny. I talked to Conor McGregor this morning, and when you talk to this kid, it's fascinating. You know, he is absolutely 100% positive that he wins this fight. And I stopped doubting Conor McGregor a long time ago. when two men step into any, whether it's the ring or the octagon or whatever it is, anything is possible. Floyd Mayweather is 40 years old. He's always had problems with southpaws. Conor McGregor is 27 years old. He is a southpaw. And whenever Conor hits people, they fall. So it's interesting. I'm not saying that Conor McGregor is going to win. I'm not saying that Floyd Mayweather is going to win. But I'll tell you this. The reason Conor McGregor is as big as he is because he will fight anybody, anywhere, anytime. He will go after Floyd Mayweather, and he will try to knock him out.
So, obviously, a ton of people think it's a joke, especially all the old boxing heads. There's a ton of people saying he has no chance, he's not a boxer, this and that. But from my personal experience, not being a boxer, it can work to your advantage because every time I've sparred, especially if it's an athletic guy, and Conor's obviously coming from a combat sport, he's sparred thousands of boxing rounds. You don't have a boxer's rhythm, and Conor's got an awkward style anyway. So if you're sparring with a guy who's a seasoned vet, he's been around, you can become pretty predictable. I heard Alexis Arguello talking about it, Freddie Roach talking about it when he sparred Alexis Arguello, who's a legend, and he said he just knew everything I was going to do ahead of time because he'd been there a million times. But Conor is very unpredictable, as he says, bigger and left-handed. It is certainly a fight. So there's a lot of people talking about the sparring footage that came out with Chris Van Alden, Van Weeden or something.
Yeah, that was doing the rounds of social media.
I listened to the owners of that gym, Box and Burn in LA, where Brendan Schaub from the Fighter and the Kid podcast trains out of. He spoke to him on his show. And those guys just said, mate, Conor just rocked up one day and says, oh, do you have anyone I can move around with?
That's footage.
That's it. The key phrase, move around. I've sparred heaps of guys and probably if you were scoring the spar, would have beaten me in the spar.
Yeah.
But sparring is not fighting. For instance, when I spar on a Saturday morning, that is my 11th session of the week. I am nowhere near 100%. There's a million other variables involved. My opponent could be fresh, whatever. I try things in sparring. I'd never try in a fight. You put yourself in bad situations. And Conor just wanted to move around.
Yep.
That does not mean anything. And I hate it when people say, oh, I saw A spar B. Yeah. A would definitely win. It doesn't mean shit. And there's no pressure. There's no bad intentions.
Yeah, I mean, but
that's a terrible comparison.
On paper, I mean, you two boys have been around a lot more fights than I have. Benny, you in the ring, Steve, you on the side of the ring, you know. On paper, Conor doesn't have a chance in a boxing match.
There's
against
always
Floyd.
A chance.
Well, I mean, he's got the puncher's chance of walking forward and dropping him.
There's
but,
always a chance.
If it goes the distance, he doesn't win, does he?
Well, the common, you know, the obvious thing to say would be Conor by knockout or Mayweather on points. But to Conor's, you know, advantage, Mayweather hasn't fought in 2 years. He hasn't had a hard fight in 3 years.
Could Conor be foxing? Could Conor have been training for the last couple of years for this, knowing this was going to happen?
Mate, he has been training because he's been fighting.
Yeah.
And Mayweather hasn't fought for 2 years. He's not a KO guy. Mate, you get old in one fight in boxing, man. Mm. Honestly, you see a guy who's on top of the world one fight, fights again 3 months later. He's just not the same as what he used to be. Mayweather has had problems with lefties in the past.
Yep.
Conor is a KO artist, obviously left-handed, bigger man. There is absolutely zero pressure on him. So this guy's got nothing to lose, man. He's going to walk out there, make an astonishing amount of money, with zero pressure. It's not like when he's fighting in the UFC, and even when it is, he's a diamond, mate. He thrives under pressure. Mm. So there's a whole bunch of guys saying, "Oh, in his all his 10 UFC fights, he's only spent 21 minutes on his feet." Now, from
and
my
he's never defended a belt, which all the haters like to bring up in every chance
but
they get.
Yeah, oh, mate, there's
you got to win a belt to defend one.
Exactly, you can't win, man. But. Yeah. I say this way too much, but from my personal experience, I've been around, man. Boxing is heaps easier fitness than an MMA fight. It's not even close, man. You can chill out. You can take a round off here and there. I guarantee you, fitness will not be an issue.
I don't see the big problem in it either, in that, all like you just mentioned, all those sort of older, you know, names, the older heads in boxing, the writers, the media.
They're just dirty. They didn't get to do it.
That's Oscar De La Hoya is. He was for it until he missed out on promoting.
Well, he wanted Canelo to fight Mayweather, to fight McGregor, didn't he? Yeah.
That's exactly right. So I read a great article in the Daily Mail from England a few days ago. I can't remember the writer, unfortunately, but he basically said, I don't know what world boxing's got to worry about. It's in one of the strongest positions it's been in a long time. You look at the heavyweight divisions,
a lot of heavyweight
divisions talk that Ward's going to go up and fight Joshua now. You look at all the middleweights, even the, you know,
that
the,
won't
the,
happen.
Yeah, you know, the feathers, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, probably not. But the hype is there. Boxing is back at the moment. There's a lot of great. You've got Lomachenko in the lightweights. You've got a lot of great fighters coming through. Canelo, GGG, Billy Joe Saunders crashing out, which I know you've probably got there somewhere, and I'll leave you to
at
it.
At the press conference.
The boxing world has got nothing to lose from this. If anything, it's MMA. If something happens to McGregor or he knocks him out and wins, like, MMA is going to lose out from this more than anything, though. So that's why
I don't think anyone loses out, man.
Yeah, that's right.
There's no pressure.
The worst case scenario for Conor is that he loses and then he walks out with 75 mil plus pay-per-view and then goes back to UFC or goes, do you know what, I'm done, I'm gonna go and be a dad.
He'll definitely fight again.
In UFC?
He's trying.
He'll defend a belt?
Dana said, mate, he wants to fight again twice.
Well, that would have been the deal. I guarantee you the UFC would have gone. You can fight him, but you got to fight two, three
more
times.
Mate, I'm pretty sure, like, from what Conor's friends say as well, mate, he's good to go. And just an interesting little side note, Mayweather's last fight against Andre Berto, him and Conor actually know each other pretty well. They both did their rehab together like 3 years ago when Conor did his knee after his second fight and Andre had his shoulder done.
Yep.
So they know each other quite well. And Andre says, mate, this guy's, that's just his personality, like all the, you know, how he acts on camera. He goes, he was like that every single day in the rehab facility on crutches. He's just putting shit on everyone. All he did was laugh and train. Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah.
obviously, I think 9 times out of 10, Mayweather wins. Yep. But there's always a chance. And, mate, the amount of pressure on Mayweather for this.
Oh, it's huge.
It's arguably the most pressure ever. You're defending boxing, essentially. And if you're going to put a bet on, put it on now, because I guarantee you the odds are going to shorten. Because right now, Conor to win's paying $5.
$5.
And Mayweather's paying $1.18.
So if you're saying money, get on him now.
Let's put a sneaky.
I never gamble, but I put money on that because the odds are so crazy.
Well, let's put some of the podcast sponsorship money onto a bet.
So you're saying, what you are saying, Benny, is that Mayweather's odds are good right now because he's only going to get shorter, surely. Mayweather's going to go down.
No. You should put money on McGregor to win.
You reckon he'll go shorter?
100%. Yeah.
Because there's going to be that many people putting money on it. The bookie's like, shit.
Yeah.
If he actually wins, we're going to do our ass.
Well, that's where you got to be careful.
It's going to be a bigger upset than Buster Douglas.
That's the old thing, is the old TAB, how that works, though. You know, where the pool of money goes is how it fluctuates the odds. But in my personal opinion, if you get heaps of people putting money on Mayweather from now until the fight, I reckon McGregor's odds blow out.
I don't think there's going to be that many people putting money on Mayweather. There's not that much to win.
No, yeah, he's paying like $1.06 or something. $1.18.
That's true, but he's, you know, the odds of McGregor winning are pretty small, I reckon.
It's Rocky. It's Rocky in real life. Well, it's not Rocky in real life because everyone knows him.
Zero pressure.
But that's
against a KO artist, man.
Yeah.
When Conor hits people, they're sleeping, man. Yeah. And 10-ounce gloves, sight, doesn't matter. Yeah, you don't have to hit him flush. What's that?
Yeah, I reckon that makes a difference, the gloves?
Oh, slightly, but if you're a knockout guy, like, you knock people stone dead.
Well, that left hand of Conor's is lethal.
It's nuclear. It is lethal. And it's the perfect weight for him, 154 pounds. That's his weight. He's 155 pounds in the UFC. That's nothing, man. He's got his Greg Lockhart, his full-time nutritionist, mate. Yep. That's a perfect weight for him. So.
And I guarantee you there's been a lot of boxing training happen over the past, you know, however
long.
He's
definitely put up footage of him training with his little Russian mate there.
Yeah. This certainly won't be a CM Punk scenario.
No.
Conor's got skills. And I mean, let's be honest, in the MMA ring, Conor's best work is on his feet, using his fists.
Absolutely.
But, so it's not that big a stretch.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? He knows he's not going to get taken down. He doesn't have to worry about any of that stuff.
And people saying it's like, I've heard some terrible analogies, but I reckon the best one I've heard is they're both in water. So it's like the best breaststroker against the best freestyle guy because there is that much crossover.
Yep.
It's not like, or NASCAR and Formula One.
You're in a perfect position.
There's a lot of crossover.
You're in a perfect position here, Benny.
I've done both.
You've done kickboxing, you've done boxing, and now you're going into MMA. So there's obviously a lot of skills from your boxing career that have gone into your MMA fighting.
Absolutely. And some stuff transfers across, some stuff doesn't.
Yep.
But there is an awful, awful lot of crossover.
Yep.
And don't forget, McGregor started in boxing in Crumlin.
Yeah.
And then he edged his way into MMA. So, mate, he's got hands, mate. And as I said, mate, he's awkward. He's awkward at the best of times.
And he's got the fucking look of the Irish.
Fucking eye. So, moving on. Kovalev Ward, the light heavyweight crown for the WBA, WBO, and IBF rematch from a very controversial decision November last year. Ward got the win last year, but no one looked more surprised than Ward when the decision was announced. We spoke about it last year. Awesome back and forth fight. Andre Ward looked razor sharp. He really did look good. Caught Kovalev with a bomb of a right hand. Kovalev's never been looked like he was in trouble. Don't forget, this guy's killed two people in the ring. Doesn't give a shit. He still comes out with bad intentions. And a quick side note before I really get into it. My mate Steve Rudick, who bitch scratched me today, got a big scratch on my neck. He trained with Kovalev in Russia, and he reckons these guys will be up at 7 a.m., running hills, train all day, and then just drink piss and smoke darts all night till about 3 a.m., up again at 7, running, and fit as full Russians, man.
The constitutions of oxes.
Yeah. They're just, oxen. That's mental, you know, fair enough. It's not the healthiest lifestyle, but that's mental toughness, man.
It's better than working in the salt mines in Russia.
100%. 100%, man. So going into the eighth round, it was pretty evenly split in press row. I had Ward ahead by one round, but could have gone either way.
Yep.
Ward wobbled the iron chin Kovalev for the first time in his career. Bomb of a right hand, right on the chin. There were definitely a few low blows in the previous rounds, and even in the finishing combination, you can see Kovalev's groin guard was just wobbling around all over the place, and the ref stopped it on his feet. No standing eight count. Probably should have taken a knee, or given bloody Ward a warning for the low blow. So. Yeah. Kovalev's manager, Kathy Duva, the daughter of legendary trainer Lou Duva, she had a mad blow up at the press conference afterward. Have a listen.
Good evening, everyone. I'm still having a hard time processing what I just witnessed. I saw someone who should have been disqualified get his hand held up. Oh, don't, no. If you're a fan, shut up. We're here to work. If you're Andre Ward fans, it's not your place to talk, okay? It's my turn. He got hit with three low blows. Four, actually, in the last round. And please act like grown-ups, okay? We're not here to cheer for our friends. We're going to talk, and we're going to say our piece, and then hopefully I won't have to see you people ever again. Now, we asked the commission for an instant replay analysis. They did not give it to us. We will file a protest on Monday. If you look at the instant replay, you see the back. Stop shouting. Are you journalists? Then shut up. We asked for an instant replay. If you look at the instant replay, which the commission refused to look at tonight, you see the back of Sergey's cup going up one, two, three times. I've never seen somebody knocked out on a low blow until tonight. And I have to say, I hope I don't ever have to see it again. When the fight ended, Sergey was up on one of the cards, and he was down by a point on the other two. The fight was very close. The beginning of the eighth round, a low blow was thrown. The referee did not protect Sergey. He waved him back to fight. And then the damage started happening. When he got into that corner at the end, three low blows. When you see the replay, they're hard to miss. It's a shame. It's a shame. Because, again, when somebody doesn't seem to know how to win a fight without fighting dirty, the other guy has to start fighting back to defend himself. It's a shame. Andre Ward's a terrific fighter. Will you stop talking? It is not your place. The fans are not supposed to be in here. The journalists have work to do. The reporters have a job, and you people aren't making it any easier.
she fired up, didn't
she?
Yeah,
she's not happy. And, mate, everything she said was true.
Yep.
You know, and, mate, I feel like the ref should have interjected a bit earlier, probably should have taken a point, or in that sort of situation, stop the fight, possible no contest. So there is an unprecedented possibility that they could be having a third fight, even though one guy's won the first two consecutively. So that's really
because of the controversy.
Yeah. So
what do you make of that though, Benny? I mean, when they show
the ref screwed it, I think.
I agree. And when you see the replays of the low blows, they're a little bit hard to distinguish exactly. But why, I mean, this is a little bit, you know, philosophical of a question, but why would a referee, what would possess him to get involved there? I don't see why. Like, you could see that Kovalev had been hit with a low blow. He was, I mean, he was fine. He did cop that right hand and it wobbled him, but he was okay. He copped a few body shots, but there was in my opinion, watching it, there was no reason that fight needed to be stopped. So what possesses a ref to come in there and stop that? Like,
well, because there's no standing eight count rule. That fight was in Vegas. The first one was in California. So if the fighter's not intelligently defending himself and still on his feet, the fight's over.
Right.
So if he took a knee, he probably would have gotten a count.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Kovalev, based upon what he said after the fight about the low blows, I think he was expecting the ref to jump in and say, hang on a sec,
but he
there's a low blow.
Yep.
Chill out for 5 minutes. So, yeah, so obviously his team's filing a complaint. Interesting to see what happens. But nevertheless, Andre Ward is the pound-for-pound number one now. Interesting to see how their pound-for-pound list goes with Mayweather's return. I don't think Conor McGregor is exactly going to put him on top of the pound-for-pound list, but...
For any of our fans out there who don't understand how that works, Benny, can you explain that quickly? How exactly is the pound-for-pound rankings work?
Based upon who is the most dominant in their division, basically. It doesn't matter how much you weigh, whatever. Who is the most dominant person in their position? If you're the best guy in your division and second place isn't even close, and there's other divisions where first, second, or third, anyone could win on any given night, you're obviously going to give it to the other guy. So, it's all subjective anyway. People look at it differently. It's just an opinion more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said before, mate, the Triple G and Canelo had their little press conference. Wasn't too much going on except for potential candidate. Well, he's probably going to be the next fight for the winner, or maybe the loser, who knows.
Yep.
But Billy Joe Saunders, is he Welsh?
Yeah, I think so.
He's Welsh.
Welsh,
yeah,
or Irish or something.
He chirped in at the press conference there and was saying, when am I going to get a fight, blah, 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 blah. And Golovkin was just like, this isn't your time. Please be quiet. Pretty much. And he goes, I'll fight you next. This is our time.
Go on.
You don't belong here. But he's
Billy's like, okay, no worries.
Billy's like, I was ready to fight you, but Gennady or whatever. He goes, I was ready to fight you. I signed a contract, but then you forgot your pen. And Golovkin goes, yeah, you got to talk to my promoter.
Exactly. It's just money, man. Billy's trying to insinuate that they're scared. They're not scared of shit, mate.
No.
They're going for the big money, mate.
Yeah.
You know, Billy's solid fighter, top fighter, but he's not a draw. No, and Canelo's the biggest pay-per-view star in the world in boxing right now. So, and that's a huge fight in boxing too. And we'll touch more on that as it gets closer. And just finishing off with some more MMA, sad MMA news, actually.
Yeah.
Two UFC vets have found, one of them, Tim Hague, UFC heavyweight, took a boxing fight on 2 weeks' notice. Watch the footage. He got dropped with a left hook.
Yep.
Was declared,
never woke up.
Yeah, was declared brain dead a couple of hours later and then ended up passing away. So RIP to Tim Hague. And Matt Hughes, you could probably say definitely the second best welterweight to GSP.
So well done, yeah.
He was the man before GSP, defended his belt 47 times or something. He got hit with his wife in the car on train tracks. Now, he's a full-blown country boy, lives in Hillsboro, Illinois. But there are some people, there have been some rumors that it was a suicide attempt, but I don't know. From what, he's a very religious man, and obviously that's against the rules with Christianity, but I reckon it's just one of those things. I had a cousin die. He used to live on a farm in Canamble, and he was behind this big semi-trailer, and he just pulled out to overtake it and got hit head on. But a car comes down that road like once every 6 hours. It was just the worst timing ever to pull out. I think that might have been what possibly happened with Matt Hughes.
Car or train?
He was in a car and got smashed by a train.
Yeah.
I reckon it's just one of those things where the train tracks are there, but a train comes past in such a rare occasion that no one had even stopped.
Yeah, right.
So he is responsive. He's in a coma, but he's responding. He's squeezing hands when he's asked and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And he's tough as nails and still fit and strong. So hopefully he pulls through, and I'll keep everyone up to date.
Nice one.
All right, I've got to stop ending on sad notes, eh? That's the second week in a row. This week is a death in a coma. Last week was a nut shot.
That nut shot, that was still was kind of funny because it didn't happen to us, though.
Oh, man. The poor. Apparently, it wasn't ruptured. It was a twisted nut.
Oh, that can
apparently,
happen.
Apparently,
you
it's
spun
gonna,
your agate.
Apparently, it's going to be all right. Doesn't need it removed or anything. But, yeah, you just.
Did you hear about that guy in America last week? Went in for testicular cancer and they took the wrong one. So, he got $1.5 million payout.
Oh!
They took the wrong nut.
Not enough. give me my fucking nut back.
So they get rid of his other nut?
Yeah.
I'll take Payos's nuts. He's a producer in overtime.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
With Scotty Masters.
Ben the Governor Edwards.
And Steve Payos.
And now, with the Macedonian love god, it's time for the vast planet
of athletic endeavour.
Australia won the toss and they're going to bowl.
Scored in brilliant goals.
Nice hole in one on the PGA Tour.
Take it away, Stevie.
What a marvellous intro that is, Stevie. Take it away.
What a marvellous name for a segment.
Let's not get too carried away.
Come on.
Still going with that beauty. The Vast Planet. Thanks very much, boys. This is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Scotty, Benny, and me.
Stevie P.
Don't even know why I said that. I was just thinking of how good. I was going to open up the intro. Thanks to the Butcher Shop. Thanks to everybody. The Vast Planet of Athletic Endeavour. First topic today, boys. State of Origin. We'll have a quick chat about that very briefly.
Yeah, now again, the podcast comes out Thursday. Just so you're thinking, why are you talking like it hasn't happened? Well, because when we recorded this, it hasn't happened. So, yeah.
So let's just.
And I forgot my crystal ball.
Let's go the Blues.
Yeah, go to the Blues. Let's all act like Nostradamus size here and predict what's going to happen. I think it's a danger game for New South Wales. They don't want to get too confident after what happened.
It's theirs to lose,
one.
Man.
That's right. It was a great performance. They've named an unchanged line for the first time in a million games. Queensland wholesale changes, but they've got back some of their legends in Slater and Thurston, who seems to be 50-50, but they look like they're foxing a little bit. Mm. I definitely think it's a danger game.
What's foxing mean?
Foxing, you know, pretending to be hurt.
That's it, yeah.
Like you did in New Zealand when you put your hands on your hips
when
in the
I
ring.
Was Okay, so waiting. Foxing's the football playing possum.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, correct. Right. That's gotcha. Right. Yeah. That's it. So I think Queensland are playing possum a bit. It's a danger game, but yeah, on form, you should be able to get up, I think.
Monday, we got the, Jonathan Thurston's been hurt in training. And I was expecting today to hear the, there's a virus going around the Queensland camp.
The Batuta advocate did a thing on that.
Yeah.
Thurston went down 7 times to training with a broken neck. But they still reckon he's a chance.
No, I reckon New South Wales is going to win 2014.
Nice.
That's my prediction.
Good prediction.
Let's hope that comes true. I could technically replace what I just said then on Thursday morning before the podcast goes live and make myself look like Nostradamus.
You're like an absolute champion.
Yeah. I might actually do that.
Do it, man. This is wrong with it. I can't believe you got it right, man.
Yeah. How good was that?
I reckon it'll be a tighter defensive effort from Queensland. I think they'll have to tighten up around the ruck. So many metres made by Fifita. You saw that Clemo straight through the middle. They'll just corner. Great metres through the middle. So let's say something like 16-10 or something.
How long was – has Billy actually played –
He's been playing for, I think he came in about round 4 or 5 this year.
And his shoulder's held up all right?
He's held up okay. Yeah.
That's good.
So, and I think Thurston's a lot more injured than Queensland has let on. I think he could be, because I reckon Frizzell will be firing at Thurston all night.
I watched last year's Origin today. It was on telly. Yeah. Frizzell had a blinder. It was his debut. He debuted at one of the Origins
He looked awesome. He should have been named the year before.
Yeah.
He wasn't as dominant in game one this year, but he still had a great game. And I think, you know, Fifita was obviously our most dominant forward.
Yeah.
But no, it'll be interesting.
We've got a mad forward pack now.
Yeah, we've had the same squad for 2 games in a row. Unlike Queensland, it'll be a bit dewy up in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
So they generally don't throw the ball around as much. It's a little bit more up the middle. So I think that's going to benefit the Blues.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially after their defensive effort in the first game.
And that was what was so impressive.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes to go, we were up by 20. And they were still scrambling like the game was on the line. That's what impressed me the most about the Blues.
I remember watching, this is a bit of a flip on script, but footage on Shane Webke. And Gus Gould was talking about this like 10 years ago. And Webke's, it was on the footy show, one of the morning shows. And he's just like, everyone just watch this clip. And it was Webke just off the kickoff, just charging into the line at 1,000,000%. And he goes, so what do you think's different about this compared to any other hit up? and everyone's looking at each other going, oh, I don't know what's going on. And then you look at the time, it's like 79 minutes.
Yep.
Brisbane's behind 20. This impossible they can win.
Yeah, but he's
but
just
then you see
where
he's taking it up like that.
Yeah.
Just the effort to the very end.
Yeah, yeah, that's just heart and soul. Yeah. I mean, I think New South Wales has that behind them. Mm. Yeah.
We'll see.
Let's hope we're all right come Thursday morning when this comes out and we've all predicted correctly. Second thing, Australian rugby. The thing I want to talk about this is not the result. They are in dire straits at the moment. They lost to Scotland.
Just a mess.
Isn't it, Scotty? They lost for the first time against Scotland in Sydney. Great win for the Scots, the fifth best team in the world, being the third best team. But the thing that really surprised me was all the story that came out in the last 24 hours about how a disgruntled fan, I don't know how he did it.
Yeah, it was just on social media.
He just did it on Facebook. Yeah, wrote a massive
Michael Checker wrote a massive rant
to Michael Checker, the coach of Australian rugby side, saying, you know, you guys don't care anymore. There's no effort. This is a disgrace. You've got no idea what it's like to be a rugby fan. And, I mean, this is a sign to me of desperation where the coaches ended up, you know, reacting to that.
He responded, not
in a bad way. He responded and then also got the guy's phone number, had a chat with him. It's like, mate, you got to be careful with that sort of thing. Not in a bad way, but it's like a politician responding to every single person.
It sets a precedent
to give him a call. I mean, you do respond
but
to letters.
But you can understand, I'm not a huge rah-rah fan. I never have been. But a lot of my mates, I'll always watch the Wallabies when they play.
That's right.
A lot of my mates are mad rugby union nuts and they're disgusted. Absolutely disgusted.
Absolutely. It's shocking. The performance
was horrible. Checker.
I think Australian rugby at the top end has been bureaucratic heavy for about the last 5 or 6 years. If you ever listen to Alan Jones on the radio, who, let's face it, was a legendary Australian coach.
Brilliant coach, yeah.
You know, great man manager Alan Jones was. He's been screaming at Australian rugby for about 3 or 4 years. Right, okay.
I guided him at an election.
Yeah, nice.
He was sitting in the polling booth out at Epic.
Yeah, well, he was a speechwriter for Malcolm Fraser
back in
the day before he became a broadcaster.
That's right. And an Australian rugby coach.
Yeah,
he's had quite a fabled career, hasn't he?
Yes, and he knows what he's talking about. And for someone like him who loves the sport so much to say it's rotten from the head down, that it needs to be fixed. There's guys
you need
there,
Trump in there to come out and clean house.
Coaches like Pat Howard and people like that who've got nothing to do with the sport.
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing
coming
there?
From backgrounds for, you know, he came from a cricket background.
That's right.
Nothing to do with the game, running it. But it just goes to show if that flows down into the performance of the players. And they were ordinary again on the weekend. A lot of mistakes, issues with the breakdown. And in my opinion, the team is reasonably unrecognisable now. I used to know a lot of the players that were in the Wallabies. You'd know coming up to a Bledisloe test, okay, these guys have to fire. Now, I can name you, Will Genier started on the weekend. Israel Folau is a pretty regular fullback. Yep. Bernard Foley at fly half.
Yep.
Apart from that, mate.
Well, Stephen Moore was on the bench.
He's our traditional skipper the last,
Like guys like Giddo and Nick White and people like that that have gone overseas. And you can't, you know, I know Nick White went to France for a huge deal. And
so
you can't blame him. And, well, Gitz had massive issues with their coach at the time. I can't even remember who the Aussie coach was. Was it Eddie Jones?
I think so. Yeah.
And that's part of the reason why he left. And, yeah, it was a big payday as well. But those guys for years weren't allowed to play. If you weren't chasing money, you weren't allowed. That only changed about 18 months ago.
Spot on, Scott. Yep, that was a rule that if you left to go and play overseas in Europe, for example, you weren't
play
eligible
for the Wallabies.
Whereas
now you can because Gitz came back a couple of years ago and played.
That's right.
O'Connor and a few others. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I think Union needs a big reboot and the games have been boring.
That's right.
Even, you know, the Rebels, they announced 72 days ago that one of the Australian franchises in the Super 15 was going to go. It's now been 72 days and they said, well, it's going to go in 72 hours.
It's happening
imminently. It's still dragging on.
Yeah.
So I think they've washed out, diluted the talent at the top end, which hasn't helped. And, who knows?
It's a struggle, isn't it?
Are they still trying to get rid of a team as well?
Yeah, they'll get rid of the Western Force, you would think.
Correct.
You'd think. Yeah. Or the Melbourne Rebels, because either of those
franchises.
They
make the least amount of money.
I'd say the Western Force.
Well, not just that. They've been shit.
Yeah.
It's just been really poor teams. Yeah.
Unsuccessful for so long. So, it's a real funny one for me, Michael Checker. You know,
that's sad, especially with the way rugby's held in such a high regard. And
especially
like a white collar
private
sport.
Schools and stuff.
Yeah, white collar sport for sure.
Exactly right. Moving on, boys. Pakistan won the ICC Champions Trophy a couple of nights ago. Congratulations to them. The thing that gripes me about this, and I'd love to get your opinion on this, one of the star men for them was Muhammad Amir, their fast bowler, who was approximately 7 years to the day got done at the very same ground, Lords, for spot fixing. So he was a proven match fixer, a guy who was bowling no balls on purpose for bookies to get involved and to make money for people. And he was one of the stars, along with Hassan Ali. Nothing to do with him, obviously. Mm-hmm. Hassan Ali bowled superbly the whole tournament. But it really bothers me that you've got a guy who got a 5-year ban for being a proven match fixer, proven, you know, manipulator of the sport, corruption, whatever else, whatever the circumstances were around that. I don't care, you know, maybe pressure from bookmakers or black market. I don't know what the full circumstances of that was, but it bothers me you've got a guy who comes in, performs so well, and rips the heart and soul out of the Indian top order to win the game by a record 180 runs. It was a big performance for Pakistan.
He obviously served his suspension and he's been allowed back into the game.
How and why is he allowed back in the game, Scotty? Shouldn't he be banned for life for match fixing?
That's obviously fixing? Comes down to the ICC, doesn't it?
It really bothers me that.
I can see your argument there for sure.
That bothers me.
That brings the game into disrepute. Absolutely, on the highest level.
Absolutely, it does. It really bothered me, and I just don't see how you got a guy.
Well, the same can be argued for, you know, bloody Overeem and Brock Lesnar and stuff.
That's it. Proven drug cheats. You know, performance enhancers, you know. Yep. But I think if you're enhancing your own performance, there's nothing great about that. But when you're trying to manipulate the outcome of a game, I guess drug testing does. You know, drug taking does do that. You're manipulating the outcome by improving yourself.
Yeah.
But
when
it comes to actually, you know, what he did was bowling no balls.
I reckon that's even worse because at least you're still trying to win when you're on the pin.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you're letting down the whole team otherwise.
I'm
going to
bet 100K
gain.
On me bowling.
Yeah, a no ball in the sixth over.
No balls.
Yeah.
That's it. So, yeah, that bothered me. Congratulations to Pakistan, but it really something that got under my collar. Australia opened up their Confederations Cup campaign last night with a 3-2 loss to Germany. Ange Postecoglou, the coach, has been really prickly in the last, you know, 1 to 2 months about the way
I would
team's
be too
been
if my name was Ange and I was a dude.
Yeah.
I'd be angry.
You wouldn't like it.
I'm not worried about Ange. I'm worried about Postecoglou.
Yeah. So they came out and he spoke about a week ago saying that his intention was to go and win this tournament. You know, I want to come here and make
bring back Gus.
Yeah. Gus and Pim and all our famous Dutch coaches. And we performed admirably, I guess, in a way. But what he's not doing is mixing his, you know, enthusiasm and ambition with pragmatism. So we're coming up against the world champions, Germany, who, for that matter, only had three people in their squad from their World Cup side of 3 years ago. They'd taken this as an experiment with all their young kids, all hungry, all motivated to get into the World Cup squad for next year. And all he did was just go out with this out-and-out attacking mentality. And we conceded within 5 minutes against Brazil, you know, going back a week ago in Melbourne, we conceded within the first 12 seconds. Mm. So it goes to show you need to set your team up properly. You need to go out there with the right intention against who you're playing and play for purpose every single year. You know, it's like Benny goes into a fight with someone who knows he's a great leg kicker. He's going to go in there and look to protect against that and come in with a game plan, whereas it looks like Ange is just going in with his attacking mentality, not thinking about what he's doing. And for me, very disappointing to lose again the way we did. We scored two goals, which was great, through Rogic as well, the Canberra boy we mentioned
last
week.
Did that work well for the German team, bringing the young kids through?
Absolutely. I think it's
But working. It's a balanced team.
That's right.
And that's what I think Steve's saying. The Aussie team's just out and out attack.
That's it. That's what he's trying to do with his formation, whereas you've got the German team.
You've got to have a plan B.
Full of young kids who are motivated and hungry to go out there ahead
that's
of
fantastic.
The World Cup. It's fantastic. Yeah, it's uber fantastic.
I'm stinking.
That's him.
Yeah, so that was a strange one, you know, for me. Ange coming out saying, we're going to win this tournament. We really want to play well. But if you're not prepared to be pragmatic and change your game plan against the big teams, then what are you actually doing? Like, you know, get in there and
play. You've got to adjust, man.
That's it. An interesting one that I found this week was Toto Wolff, who's one of the heads of McLaren Mercedes, came out and said that actually Nico Rosberg was one of the key people involved in the whole spat with Lewis Hamilton. It was actually him who was the aggressor and making a lot more of the problems with Hamilton than vice versa. So don't you find that's a strange thing about how media can sometimes either misinterpret or
the team putting their own spin on it?
Or is
it
the
though?
Team putting their own spin on it? So this one was a poignant one for me about how you got to really do your research into what you believe. You can't just believe
the headline.
You know
who knows the truth though, don't you?
Lewis and Nico. That's right, the two between them.
Yeah.
They're not doing it tough, obviously, those two guys. Nico retired after winning his world championship last year, and Lewis is right up there with Sebastian Vettel this year. But
was the consensus, it was the other way around.
Correct. The consensus was that it was Lewis who was the troublemaker and always whinging about the fact that the team was helping out Nico a bit more.
Yeah.
But, you know, for Toto Wolff to come out and say that, I thought was, that's
is that his real name?
Yeah.
A
Yeah, Benny, yeah.
Toto Wolf Pasta Cocklu.
That's exactly right. So, yeah, I found that very interesting. I mean, it's a great race this year.
You'll never know the truth.
You probably never know the truth, but it does show you need to be careful of exactly who you're believing in and what they're coming out with.
The only thing we can all agree on with F1 is that Vettel's a wanker and Webber should have smashed him.
Yeah, yeah. Should have punched him in the head for 5 minutes.
Queen Bee style.
Yeah,
just go 2-6-2-0, smash!
Which car? Finally, boys, this week, Benny touched on the fact that Conor McGregor is fighting Floyd Mayweather. What I want to talk about and get an opinion on is the ticket pricing. The ticket pricing has come out.
Yeah, but it's
$2,100 for the nosebleeds.
That's for a nosebleed, Benny. Yeah. It's all the way up to just under $100,000 for a ringside seat. Benny, is this pulling this away from your general boxing fan, your general hunter?
Of course it is.
100%.
What's your opinion on that? I think it's disgraceful.
It's just a money grab.
It is.
The whole fight is just a money grab.
Well, when you're paying one fighter $100 million and the other fighter $75 million guaranteed, you got to make it somehow.
So if this is a money grab.
That's where those problems with Pacquiao and that as well, just the sheer ticketing prices. They weren't even that bad, but even still,
mate, your price out the general $400 was the minimum for Pacquiao and Mayweather.
For the biggest fight of the decade at that time, I reckon that's fair enough.
Yeah. Why don't you put it at the Forum in Caesars and put it back outside again? Why don't you put it somewhere? Madison Square is probably not the right example, but put it somewhere where you can fit 40,000.
Levi Stadium.
Levi Stadium. Yeah. Put it in Dallas.
They had WrestleMania there, didn't they?
Yeah. Any of the stadiums have had WrestleMania.
Put it in Houston. Put it in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl. Why do they have to do it at a purpose-built venue like this where you can't get as many people in?
I think because Mayweather's got the Nevada State Athletic Commission in his pocket, and he's a lot more in control of things.
So you reckon that's a lot? That's the reason why that's got to do it.
Mayweather is before Conor, well, even still, he's the biggest money spinner in Vegas.
Yeah.
And, he's not he's put money in people's pockets, not necessarily out of his own, but he's made a lot of people very wealthy.
Yeah.
And when Conor McGregor had his little bottle throwing incident, he swore he was never going to fight in Vegas again because they fined him such a ridiculous amount.
Yeah.
And then they're like, because he said he's never going to fight there again, they're like, oh, mate, we'll change his suspension and we'll minimize the fine because they didn't want to lose their money, man.
Yeah.
So I reckon it's just all money, mate. They just want to make as much as possible, and Mayweather wants to be in control of everything.
As I said before, I've got no issue with the fight taking place. I think boxing's got nothing to worry about. The UFC, for their publicity machine, this is all fantastic too. But when you're pricing out your general fight fans, who are the ones who have supported,
they'll get it on pay-per-view, won't they?
What's that going to be? Is that 100? Like it's Pacquiao?
That was $99.99, wasn't it?
It'll be $100.
It'll be at least $100.
Yeah. So what does that mean for us in Australia? It's going
to
be another.
You go to the pub and watch it.
Yeah, that's
what you do. You go to the pub, let them pay $2,000 for it at the pub, and you go and watch it.
I'll just house it for Scotty and put it on his bill.
Again.
The spray bill. Yeah. So anyway, that's that one that really got to me as well. That's disgraceful. You can't even go there as a punter unless you go and scalp out
that's
the front.
That's crazy. Yeah. It's just going to be a whole bunch of white-collar douches in the crowd.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how much atmosphere is there going to be?
There'll be investment bankers and Hollywood's who's
so
who.
Yeah, the who's who. So silly decision for me, the pricing structure. However, glad the fight's going ahead.
Yeah. I wouldn't be spewing about the ticket price if I was fighting, though.
Well, if you're the one making the money, but then you're so devoid of what's going on in the real world, then.
Everyone's got no control. The general fans is going to be at the pub, man.
Yeah,
that's for
exactly
sure.
Right. Thanks, Stevie.
No worries. Thank you, boys.
Need advice?
You've come to the wrong place. But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
All right, boys, and a great question this week around. Debbie Fraser on the email said, I can't stand Conor McGregor and I hate Mayweather even more. Does anyone really win out of this situation except those who get a big check? Doesn't this make a mockery of both sports? Benny, what do you think?
Nah, not at all.
It's a
huge event that it made itself. This just grew organically. The fans said they wanted to see it.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be a spectacle, mate. It's something that's never happened before. And I think it's just gonna be just a huge event. And it's probably arguably gonna be one of the most watched events in human history.
Yeah.
I think the last thing that was even close was Antonio Inoki versus Muhammad Ali, who got paid $6 million to have what was sort of an MMA fight, even though Ali was in his full boxing trunks and Inoki was on the ground trying to get him to come on the ground. It was a disaster.
Yeah.
But this being a boxing fight, as I said before, with so much crossover, it does spark a lot of interest.
It's just like Rocky III when Rocky took on Thunderlips. Hulk Hogan, isn't it?
Thunderlips is here.
Just putting on a show for the fans.
Yeah, mate, I don't think I think it's just an awesome spectacle.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be great for both sports.
Yeah, we touched on it before. What if Conor knocks out Mayweather? Is that bad for boxing?
Mate, it's not the best look, but even like guys like Max Kellerman, who he's a very, very smart dude. Yep. He's got degrees coming out of his ass. He's very well spoken. I respect his opinion tremendously. And even he said Conor has a 0% chance. Now, Max is smarter than me, and he knows there's no such thing as a 0% chance in a fight. Especially when
two the guy with the 0%, and a left hook.
Especially when the guy's a big banger, you know. So, mate, the world's going to be watching. I think it's just going to be an awesome spectacle.
Yeah, I think it's a great question, Debbie. Thank you very much for writing it through. I agree with Benny in that the spectacle is great. Neither sport has anything majorly to worry about. In terms of mockery, I reckon it makes a mockery of the fans, as I mentioned a moment ago. It makes a mockery of the everyday person who are the ones who have always been the lifeblood of the sport, from local into
especially boxing.
Levels.
Boxing is blue collar. Boxing, it ain't rugby union, man.
That's correct. It's always been the case, Benny. And
even MMA, it's very expensive to train for MMA. Yeah. Boxing's always been
absolutely. A working class sport. And to me, it makes a mockery of the fans who are genuinely interested from either perspective, from the MMA perspective or the boxing perspective. You know, the fact that they won't stand a chance of going to see this fight.
Money, boys.
So,
I mean, you just got to look at WrestleMania. Ringside WrestleMania is about 10 grand.
Wow.
Yeah, I've had mates that have gone at $10,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that's also like a 6-hour event.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there'll be an undercard on this.
Yeah, it's you know, boxing undercards. The Kovalev Ward.
You should put your hand up and fight Hopper again on the undercard of this, mate.
We had a brief interaction the other day. It was probably 6 months ago. But they're putting up all the photos of Quade Cooper fighting the fat guy.
Oh, yeah.
And then a whole bunch of people defending me going, oh, it doesn't matter what they look like. This fat kid knocked out Hopper. I'm like, oh, thanks, asshole.
Oh, dear. Well, there you go. Deb, who knows who the winner is? Do you know who the winner is? The promoter is the winner out of this one at the end of the day. Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Yeah. Yeah, all right, well, let's get into song two now on the Uppercut podcast. Now, it's no secret that I don't mind me a little bit of Alter Bridge, and these boys have just announced, this is what I would sell one of my kids for to get to. This is like my Mayweather versus McGregor fight, this thing.
Wow.
Alter Bridge has announced they're doing two shows in October at the Royal Albert Hall with the 52-piece London Symphony Orchestra.
Brilliant.
Yeah, wow. Seriously, I would sell a left nut to go to that concert.
It's S-N-A-B.
Yeah.
Which kid's going first, Scotty?
Sorry?
Which kid's going first?
I refuse to comment. Yeah. But this is off their last album, The Last Hero, Island of Fools. This with an orchestra behind it would just be absolutely epic. So if there's anyone out there listening that doesn't want to sponsor the podcast but wants to give me 10 grand to go to a rock concert, please just give me a call.
Illusions are
It is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, and it's time for uppercut slash high five of the week. I think we're all in agreement it's an uppercut this week. Steve Rudick gets an uppercut, Benny, because he scratched your neck. Did you uppercut him? You're in the same room as the guy when he scratched you.
Mate, he's probably a better boxer than me as well.
So, okay, yeah. Right.
That is and a, I love that's him. A nasty scratch.
I kind of love him, but man, he got me good.
Yeah.
He cut me deep, Shrek.
Yeah, nice.
Nails or...
Yeah, oh. He looks like bloody Wolverine. I always used to bipe at him because he cut his nails before we roll sometimes. But obviously because I went mad at him every time he stopped cutting them. So it's kind of my fault.
Now, Stevie, you were just mentioning one. I mean, it's very easy and we've given plenty of political uppercuts over the last two seasons on this podcast, but you've got one for us.
Yeah, I thought this was an interesting one. Yesterday, Clive Palmer allegedly just boarded a $10,000 a person yacht to go on a four-week cruise of Europe. After 3-4 weeks ago, he was due to give evidence in the Senate.
He showed up on the oxygen and all that, didn't he? Oh, yeah. I'm going to die.
I'm going to die. Like, spewing in a paper. He had a paper bag with him and all that sort of thing, and now all of a sudden he's dropped heaps of weight and just climbing on a cruise.
It's called the Christopher Scase
tactics.
Yeah, that's it.
He was the original of that, wasn't he?
He's he buggered off to Mallorca.
I like Clive,
You like Clive?
Yeah, man, do you know what? Fuck you, money. I'll be doing that too, man.
When Clive first started to run for Australian politics, he said all the right things. And I actually went, do you know what? This guy's got the money and the. But do you know what it is? It's the Nathan Tinkler thing. You've got heaps of cash. No one ever tells you no. And you think, oh, I'll do this for a bit of fun. And then you get there and you realise how hard it is. I mean, he was a shithouse Australian senator.
Yeah.
He was absolutely horrible. And his party was a joke. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of agree with you.
I think he's all right,
one.
Man.
Yeah.
I can't hit him, man. One of you two is going to have to uppercut him.
All right, Stevie, away you go. I'm
ready. Look at the lats on.
Oh, poor old Clive.
All the ferociousness of a Ben Edwards flick.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen.
It is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the wonderful crew at The Butcher Shop, Sess and the boys over at Dixon and Big Phil and the crew over at Kayleen. Go and see and get some of Canberra's best meat down your neck. And thanks again for sponsoring the podcast for us, folks. And big shout out to Ian, who hasn't been feeling well of late. He had been into hospital last week, but he's on the mend now. So
how's his flat top?
His flat top's looking fantastic. You could make set squares off Ian's flat top. 100%. So
90 degrees.
Very impressive. Even. Yeah, indeed. So thanks good to the Butcher
Crop. Send me a PDF file, man. I spoke to someone there.
I just got a text message before from Sess at the Butcher Shop, and it said, hey, mate, Ben Edwards was in yesterday when I was out and asked the guys at the shop for a logo to be emailed in PDF format. Can you sort that out? Thanks. Yes, I can, Benny. I've got their logo here for you, mate.
Good work, mate.
Is that for your shorts, for your fight?
Shirt and banner. I've got a banner.
Oh, nice.
Look out. It's
very nice.
Getting professional.
Very, very nice.
You're only 3.5 weeks
away.
Have you got anyone to make your banner? Because my missus does that stuff.
Yeah, I got a guy.
You got a guy?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I know a guy, man.
Yeah, there you
go. Banner man.
Very good.
You're only 3.5 weeks away now, Benny, aren't you? That's good.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we haven't touched on it this week because we've been too busy talking. We had Dave Tessaint in, and again, thanks to Dave for coming in. Absolutely sensational to chat to him. He's looking fit, isn't he? And he
always does,
looking
mate.
Ready to go.
Mate, he comes in off a holiday. He's still ripped up.
Yeah. How is it all going, man? Like, you're looking good. You're looking fit.
Yeah, I'm getting there, mate. I'm more worried about my tan than anything else.
Right.
I'm quite on the
white
pale,
side.
I'm pale.
Do we get you in for a tan the week before?
No, I'll sweat it off, man. Or I'll look like an Oompa Loompa. I'm good, man. But training's awesome, mate.
Yeah, well, the sun lounge is out the back by the pool. You can lay out there, mate.
I need to be fucking Oompa.
But I'm fit as, mate.
So
fit, strong, ready to go.
Any more words from Mr. Sassoli?
We had a little bit of an exchange. He said he was going to throw me out of the ring. Out of the cage, and I rebutted with the only thing leaving the cage during the fight is your consciousness and ability to chew solid food. That was it.
I can't wait for this fight. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, I think a lot of Canberra is going
to. Mate, there's so much hype. I've had people come up to me and just say, "Mate, like friends of mine," and say, "I've heard randoms talking about it in the food court in the city."
Yeah.
There's a heap. It's going to sell out, man. So if you want a ticket, get it now.
Yeah, get into it.
It's going to be awesome.
Give Shane Tipper a call and get some tickets. Stevie, next week, hopefully we're talking on the back of a Blues win.
Absolutely. Let's
series,
hope so.
Series of Origin. It'll be very
two-zip,
nice.
We'll aiming for a 3-zip, I think. This
well, I'd
great
like to break
to...
Queensland's back this year.
Absolutely.
Break their
heart. The
make them humble.
Yeah, man.
Iron Sheik style.
Isn't it about time we won 3 or 4 in a row?
That's
right. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. Iron Chef.
Iron Sheik, man.
Iron Sheik from wrestling.
Yeah.
Break his fucking back and make him humble. You seen that video, man? It's awesome, man.
No, you mean the Iron Sheik from wrestling? Is that
what
you're
talking about? Yeah, man. He's all coked up and he's all talking about all these old wrestlers in the good old days. And
yeah, right.
That's how you make.
Because he was always up against Sergeant Slaughter and Bruno Sammartino and guys like that.
Sergeant Slaughter, brilliant.
He used to say, "You probably get the brass band ready, but you break his back in the ass and make him humble."
I just bleeped that one. That was okay.
All right.
Beep. Oh, the only time that trots out is when Edwards opens his gob. Let's be honest. That's it for this week, folks. Get a big black dog up you, and we'll talk to you next week.
See you, folks.
See you later.
Well, that's a wrap. Not sure if we solved the problems of the world, but if we didn't, Ben can put those problems to sleep with a well-timed ride.
Scotty can write a scathing diatribe and give them another tongue-lashing.
And Steve can get all Barry White and seduce the world into thinking everything is going to be just fine. That will happen in the next episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Till next time. So long.